Good morning. This is Reverend Bob McLavey with the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. And welcome to our time of scripture, a message, and music on this second Sunday of Advent. The second Sunday of Advent is the Sunday that we focus on love, the second Advent candle in our Advent wreath. Is the candle symbolizing love. This morning we're going to have a passage out of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, and then we're going to have music by both Ellen and Alan Vest as they sing in the bleak midwinter. But first, let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we are again focusing on the Advent season and the Christmas message that you brought to us through the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the way that you bless us. And we thank you, Lord, for your word and for the opportunity to learn from your word. So this morning we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear the words you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, it occurs to me that Advent should be more than just a time of being reminded of the Christmas story. It should be a teachable moment, helping us to understand that God's plan took centuries to unfold. Many of us have heard the Christmas story so many times that we begin to take it for granted. But it should never be taken for granted, because it is a part of a much larger picture. The Christmas story itself, of Mary being chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus, the story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem from Nazareth, so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, as the prophets foretold, of Jesus being born in the depths of humility in a stable, of the shepherds, the common laborers on the lower rung of society, being the first to be told of Jesus' birth. All of that is only a part of God's grand plan for humanity, so that we could be redeemed and made eligible for the kingdom of God. God's plan had been in the works for centuries prior to Jesus' arrival as a baby in the manger. And so today, we go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Samuel, and we learn that even there, in this beautiful prayer by Samuel's mother Hannah, there is a connection to the Christmas story. There is a connection throughout the Old Testament, but today we are going to focus on Hannah and her son Samuel. So this morning our scripture comes from 1 Samuel, Chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And this is what is known as Hannah's prayer. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken. Those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, and she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This is the word of the Lord. Well, Hannah was filled with joy. Do you hear her words? My heart rejoices in the Lord. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Those are joyous words. Something extraordinary must have happened to spur that kind of joy in Hannah's life. So where is it that she would find that kind of praise for her Lord? What happened to Hannah? To understand this prayer of joy, we need to read just a few preceding verses in 1 Samuel. It says, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you, praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. You see, Hannah had been barren, but she prayed to the Lord to give her a child. And she promised that that child would be dedicated to serving the Lord for all of his life. And of course, the Lord gave her the son, Samuel. So we think then that the reason for Hannah's joy is the fact that she went from being barren to giving birth to a son. And that is certainly reason enough for joy. But her joy goes much beyond her personal good fortune. Hannah, in her trusting God and promising to dedicate her son to serve the Lord forever, has touched on a miracle that rings strikingly similar to the miracle of Mary's conceiving and giving birth to the baby Jesus. When you read Scripture in its entirety, the story of the birth of Samuel is actually a part of the story of the birth of Jesus, because in the big picture, the Lord God is putting together all of the pieces and all of the players that will eventually lead to the coming of the Messiah and the redemption of the people of Israel and of all the world. Hannah, in her deepest sorrow and in tears, had asked the Lord to grant her a son, one that she would dedicate to the Lord's service forever. And the Lord responded. She named her son Samuel. But we must understand this was not just any son that the Lord had given her. The figure of Samuel is one of the most significant figures in the entire history of the people of Israel. He was a pivotal religious, moral, and national leader. Samuel led Israel as a prophet, as a priest, and as a judge when Israel transformed from a loose affiliation of tribes to a great nation. When the people demanded a king, God directed Samuel to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. But Saul was disobedient, and for many years, God rejected him as king. And so, in yet another dramatic story of the history of Israel, it was Samuel once again who was directed by God to anoint the next king. In 1 Samuel 16, we read this. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." And we know how the story goes. Samuel reviewed 7 sons of Jesse, but said, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. David, soon to become King David, the King of Israel, the one after God's own heart, was anointed by Samuel at the direction of the Lord. So do you see this picture unfolding? This child that God granted to the barren Hannah, the one who Hannah promised to dedicate to the Lord, was Samuel. And God used Samuel in the formation of the nation of Israel and ultimately used him in selecting and anointing David as king. And of course, it is from the lineage of David that eventually comes the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the time that Samuel served as prophet, priest, and judge, the world changed, and with it the way the people of Israel understood their relationship to God, and to the land, and even to one another. The amazing thing here, however, is that when Hannah brought her son to the priest at Shiloh to dedicate him to the Lord's service, she does not speak of the enormous changes that will come. No, her joy is in the faithfulness of God. Her attention is to the power of God to go beyond what human beings can comprehend and to fulfill his plan for the world using the most unlikely of people. Hannah sings of God the Lord, who turns wrong things right side up, who judges justly, who delivers the needy and puts down the oppressor, who upholds the world, who brings death and gives us life, and who blesses the barren with the full number of children. Hannah's voice joins those of the prophet Miriam and Mary of Nazareth in praise of God, who works deliverance through extraordinary circumstances. Not by might does one prevail, Hannah prays, for she has personal knowledge of God's divine power to work beyond the reach of ordinary human expectations. God has exalted her because of the trust that she placed in her Lord and the obedience that she demonstrated when God granted her request of a son, which she made through a prayer of tears. God gave her Samuel, who became a mighty leader used by God in the master plan of the coming of the Messiah. Friends, this is extraordinary. Look at the connection between this story in the Old Testament and the story of the coming of the Christ child. We have heard Hannah's prayer, which is a song of praise and thanksgiving. But now, listen to Mary's words, captured in Luke, in chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, when Mary is pregnant with the Christ child. She is visiting her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has just said to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And now this is Mary's song out of the Gospel of Luke. Hear these words. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Those are the words of Mary. And aren't the words of Hannah and of Mary eerily similar? Two women who are unlikely characters in the story of God's plan, but two women who are faithful to God and who believe that God will uphold the righteousness and justice he has promised. These two women were exalted beyond all human comprehension. God's divine and mysterious power used them in the shaping of the world to come. And so we look at our lives today. We say, "Oh, those are great Bible stories." We say, "Wow, I never understood the relationship between the Old and New Testaments and how they really do connect with one another." But on this particular Lord's Day, I challenge you to think about this divine and mysterious power of God in the present tense. The same Lord God who was shaping the world through Hannah and Mary is present with us today. It is my humble but enthusiastic belief that God is looking for the most unlikely characters that are willing to be used to shape the world today. Each one of us qualifies for being unlikely, just as Hannah and Mary were unlikely. So were Abraham and Sarah and Moses and John the Baptist and the disciples and the Apostle Paul and the Samaritan woman at the well and the centurion at the foot of the cross who proclaimed to the world, "Surely this was the Son of God." Friends, there is no expiration date on God's power. There is no lessening of God's ability to enter into a world in chaos and to change it. And there are no boundaries on God's world. The importance of the work we do for God here in our own community is just as important as the work done by the Pope, or by great evangelists with famous names. It's all the same in God's eyes, because it is about obedience to a God we trust for righteousness and justice. God keeps His promises. We have been redeemed by the Messiah who was promised. We have the ability to be in relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who was promised. But it all comes down to whether or not we truly believe that Hannah's joy can be our joy. That Hannah's joy, you see, was not about her son Samuel, but rather was about the power of God that she had experienced personally. She trusted. She prayed fervently for God to act in her life, and God responded in ways greater than she could imagine. That was Hannah's joy, and it can be our joy also. During this Advent season, as we look forward to the celebration of Christmas and the arrival of the Christ child, it can be our joy as well. Hallelujah. And Amen. And now, friends, we're going to hear that beautiful Christmas hymn entitled "In the Bleak Midwinter," arranged and performed by both Ellen and Alan Vest. "In the Bleak Midwinter." Thanks to Ellen and Alan for that beautiful song. And friends, have a blessed and safe week ahead. And thank you for listening.